Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you'd like to join us as we study from God's Word and we worship Him. We would be delighted to have you. We also offer in-home Bible studies. If you'd be interested in studying from God's Word, we'd be happy to study with you. If you'd like to request a Bible study, or if you have any questions about anything that is said this morning, you can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website again is olneychurchofchrist.org, and our number is 217-218-0803. The last few weeks in our program, we have emphasized God's plan of salvation. We've pointed out that as a result of our sin, we stand condemned before God, and we face the wages of our sin, which is eternity in hell, in torment. But God planned a means by which we can be forgiven of our sins, and instead of spending eternity in hell, we can spend eternity in heaven with Him. The centerpiece of God's plan of salvation is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity Himself, but He came to this earth and took upon Himself the form of a man. And as a man, He lived a life of perfect obedience and ultimately went to the cross and died so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. But there's something that is required of us in order to receive the salvation that God offers. And in a phrase, what is required of us is to trust God and obey His will for us. There are no good reasons for failing to obey God when we consider what His Word teaches about His plan of salvation. But this morning I want to consider 10 reasons that might be given for failure to obey God. And notice some things Scripture teaches in response to this that should prompt us to determine we are going to obey God, become a Christian if we're not yet, and once we become a Christian, live lives of obedience to Him. One reason that some might give for failing to obey God is believing I don't need God. Some people are too proud to admit sin. Some might think, based upon successes they have here on this earth, that they don't need God. For example, somebody who is very wealthy while here on this earth might think, what need do I have of God? I seem to be doing fine on my own. Or someone who is very knowledgeable from an earthly perspective, or very popular, or whatever it might be that the world tells us is important. If someone has succeeded in those areas, he or she might think, what need do I then have of God? Notice a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation this morning, unless otherwise stated. But in Luke 16, Jesus here is speaking, and beginning at verse 19, he says, "Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, living in luxury every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yes, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The beggar died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his bosom. He cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in the same way bad things. But now here he is comforted and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that those who want to pass from here to you are not able, and that no one may cross over from there to us.'" Notice here in this passage the contrast between this rich man and Lazarus. The rich man seemed to be very successful while he lived here on this earth. Lazarus seemed to be a failure. He had far less riches, far less of the things that mankind considers to be important. And this rich man may have thought, and perhaps did think as a result of that, that he had no need of God. He may have thought, "I'm doing just fine by myself. Look at all the riches I've got. Look at all the good that I've got going for me." And yet notice when they left this earth, it was truly Lazarus who turned out to be in good shape, and the rich man ended up being tormented and now faced torment for eternity because he did not obey God during his time on earth. The truth is, we do need God in order to have our sins forgiven, in order to live lives of comfort after our time here on this earth, instead of being tormented for eternity after we leave this earth. But another reason that some may fail to obey God, some may think, "God will forgive me even if I don't obey His will." But notice what Jesus said about this in Matthew, the 7th chapter. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Jesus says, first of all, not everyone will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And secondly, notice the contrast between the word "says" and "does." It's not those who talk the talk, as we might say, those who say, "I believe in God, I believe in His Son," who will be able to enter heaven. It's those who, in addition to that belief and that acknowledgement, do the will of the Father. In other words, it's those who obey who will be able to spend eternity in heaven with God. And so thinking we don't need God, or thinking that God will forgive us regardless of whether or not we obey Him, are two bad reasons for not obeying Him based upon what Scripture teaches. But some might fail to obey God out of a belief that God could never forgive me. And this is a third reason that we want to consider. Notice what the Apostle Paul has to say along these lines in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15. The Apostle Paul was one who persecuted Christians before he was converted. He did some despicable things. But notice what he says here in this verse. He says, "The saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul says, when I consider my life and things that I have done, I consider myself to be the chiefest of sinners. But he says, Jesus came to save sinners, even me. And he says in verse 16, he had obtained mercy. And so, no matter what we have done in our lives up until this point, as long as we're here on earth, we can still choose to do what God requires of us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And if we do so, Jesus' blood will wash our sins away, just as it did there with the Apostle Paul upon him being obedient. And that leads us into our next reason that some might give for failing to obey God. Some might claim, I could never change in the way God requires. Notice something that is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 11. Notice some sins mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 6 and what is said about the Corinthian brethren in connection to these sins. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 9, says, "Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God." And now notice what he says in verse 11. He says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God." And so he says, these sins that keep one from inheriting the kingdom of God used to describe you, but they don't anymore. You've changed. You've made correction. And each one of us has the ability to do that in ways God requires. There is nothing He requires of us that we do not have the ability to do. No changes need to be made that God does not supply the ability to make. And so this is yet another bad reason for failing to obey God: the belief, I could never change in the way God requires. But a fifth reason that some might give for failing to obey God is that a lot of Christians are hypocrites. There's no question that many individuals who profess to be Christians don't live a lifestyle that speaks well of the one who they claim to follow. But notice something that is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that demonstrates that just because some individuals who claim to be Christians are not living obedient lives does not mean that you and I should refuse to obey God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "For we must all be revealed before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Notice, we are not going to be judged according to how someone else obeyed the will of Christ. Each one of us individually will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for what we have done in response to what God requires. And what God requires of us is not to follow the hypocrite, but to follow Christ. He is the one we are following, and he is not a hypocrite whatsoever. We cannot treat God poorly simply because some who claim to obey him aren't really doing so. That's not God's fault. That's not Christ's fault. We need to simply look at our own lives and ensure that we give the proper reverence to God, and respect needs to be directed towards God by obeying what he commands of each one of us. But a sixth reason that some might give for failing to obey God is, my family would be upset. Maybe there's a particular change that we realize we need to make, but we are concerned that our family or maybe our close friends would be upset if we made that change. Notice something Jesus says back in the book of Matthew, this time in chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'll begin reading at verse 35. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 35, Jesus says, "For I came to set a man at odds against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be those of his own household." Now notice verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now Jesus would have us to love our parents, to love our children, to love our siblings, to love our families in general. But the point here is, we cannot refuse to obey God because of something our family tells us or something that our family desires of us. Jesus says if we do that, we are not worthy of him. Notice in verse 38 there of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus goes on to say, "He who doesn't take his cross and follow after me isn't worthy of me." In other words, there are going to be challenges, difficulties, if you live a life of obedience to Christ. There are going to be sacrifices that have to be made. It is not always going to be easy to follow in Jesus' steps. But Jesus says, if you don't do that, you're not worthy of me. And that leads us into a seventh reason that some may fail to obey God. And that is, I don't want to make the sacrifices necessary. Some might look at what God requires and think, that's going to push me out of my comfort zone. That is implying that I'm going to have to give up some things that I really enjoy doing. That's implying that I'm going to have to change my schedule and my character and all kinds of things in my life that I just don't want to have to do. And some refuse to obey God because of this mentality. But notice something that Jesus said in Matthew the 16th chapter. In Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 26. And I'll be reading from the King James Version this time. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Jesus asks two rhetorical questions here in this verse. He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In other words, think about the values here that you are prioritizing. Yes, you're going to have to make sacrifices as you are here on this earth in order to follow me. But think about what will happen if you don't make those sacrifices. He says, if you lose your own soul, meaning if you spend eternity in hell as a result of choosing to give in to some sin or pleasure here on this earth, or refusing to do what God requires you to do here on this earth, will it really be worth it? Was it really worth it for that rich man in Luke chapter 16? All of these riches he gained on earth, all of the ways in which he was able to serve himself, was it really worth it when he got to Hades there in torment in Luke 16 and was in so much anguish that he desired Lazarus to just dip the tip of his finger in water and touch the tip of his tongue? The rich man didn't see it as being worth it, and it won't be for us either. Certainly, the sacrifices that Jesus requires us to make, first of all, they don't compare with what he has done for us, and secondly, they are more than worth it when we consider the eternal reward that can be received if we follow his steps. But another reason, an eighth reason that some might give for failing to obey God is, I don't want to be an outcast. I don't want to be different from the people around me. I like fitting in with the majority. And as I read in Scripture about not being conformed to the world and other commands of God, it appears that I'm going to be very different if I choose to obey God. But notice something Jesus said along these lines in Matthew, this time the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter in by it. How narrow is the gate, and restricted is the way that leads to life. Few are those who find it." Jesus says many are going down the path that leads to destruction. Few are going down the restricted path that leads to life. Now ask ourselves the question, would we rather be with the majority of mankind going down a path that leads to destruction? Or would we rather be in the minority of mankind, but on God's side, going down a path that leads to life? That's a question we might pose from what Jesus said here in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. But a ninth reason that some might give for failing to obey God is, I don't want to be treated badly because of my choice to be an obedient Christian. If we live lives of obedience to God, people might speak poorly of us, think we are strange. They might not want to be our friend. may not even want to talk to us. And that might make us think, I don't want to be an obedient Christian given all that that entails. But consider something that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. He says, what then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we are on God's side, we have no reason to be upset about people making fun of us or being upset with us or rejecting us. We have no reason to be upset about that in a way that's going to cause us to not obey God. It might bother us, and that's understandable. But it should not cause us to say, well, in that case, I'm not going to obey God. If God be for us, who can be against us? But one more reason that some may fail to obey God that we want to consider this morning. Some may say, well, I will obey God at some point, but not right now. Sometime down the road, I will do what I know I need to do, but I'm not ready for that just yet. Notice something that God teaches us in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It says there, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The day of the Lord there in that verse has reference to the day of judgment, the day when the earth as we know it will be dissolved, and we will be sent to our eternal home, either heaven or hell. And when talking about when that day will come, God says it's going to come as a thief in the night. Meaning it's going to come when we're least expecting it. And so we've got to be ready at all times, because that day could certainly be today. Please consider this morning these reasons some might give for failing to obey God, and what Scripture has to say in response to these attitudes. If you struggle with this or any other reason that hinders you from being obedient to the Lord, please consider what Scripture teaches about your need to obey and your need to do so urgently. If you have any questions about anything that was said, or if you would like to study further, please feel free to reach out to us. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can learn more about us through our website, which is allneychurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute period here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.